Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure. As always, if you just tuned in, we're glad to have you here. Welcome aboard. You're going to be glad you hung out with us because we got Mike Menzies on the line with us. Mike is the president and CEO of Easton Bank and Trust in Easton, Maryland, where the crabs run awfully sweet over there. The ginnies and the sooks, but they only eat the sooks. They don't eat the ginnies, right, Mike?
Exactly the reverse. What do you think? I'm from Virginia.
I just wanted to see if you were paying attention.
We eat the jimmies. We leave those beautiful sooks alone.
They eat the jimmies, but not the sooks.
That's right.
The jimmies are the males, folks, and the sooks are the females. And so
that's exactly right.
Yeah, but now in Virginia, according to Marylanders, they eat both of them.
Yep. Yeah,
and there's always been this little bit of a conflict between the Marylanders and the Virginians over that, hasn't there?
Well, some say that's the reason they lost the war, but I'm not going there.
You got to come to the Small Business Advocate Show to get this kind of information, ladies and gentlemen. You just don't get this anywhere else. Mike, welcome back. It's good to have you back. And one of the things I wanted you to talk to us about today is, we all know about the subprime meltdown. We all know about the financial crisis that we're still dealing with. There's still sort of rippling through the economy, through the global economy, actually, because so many of these mortgages were securitized and offshored, you know, and just rippled through the global economy, which is, you know, the good news about the global economy is we can transfer assets and money and everything so fast and so well. But the bad news is if you get a bug in somewhere, you know, it ripples through the whole country. I mean, through the whole global system. And one of the problems with the subprime issue now is that even though we think we know where a lot of the damage is, there's still some concern that there might be damage that we don't know about yet. That could sort of be another shoe that drops on us. And that's one thing that's going on out there. But you know, Mike, all small business owners care about is, how is this going to affect my customers, and how is all this going to affect my relationship with my bank? Am I still going to be able to get the capital that I need for my small business? What do you think, Mike?
Well, Jim, you say we are dealing with it, and I'm sure that's true. And when you hear about Secretary of the Treasury meeting with three of the largest banks in the nation to discuss a $100 billion funding source for these structured investment vehicles, you sit back and recognize that we're just beginning to understand the nature of it. We really don't have a complete comprehension of the impact of subprime and the adjustments that Chairman of the FDIC, Sheila Blair, was talking about on TV the other day, of the magnitude of those interest rate adjustments. Now, so I want to make a couple of quick points. First of all, remember that the banking industry is about a $12 trillion industry in total assets.
In the U.S.?
In the USA, about $12 trillion in assets. That's balance sheet assets. That doesn't include off-balance sheet SIVs and that sort of thing. Now, of that $12 trillion of assets, the top five or six banks have about $5 trillion or $6 trillion of those assets. Hmm. And the other 8,700 and some banks have the balance. And this issue is a Wall Street issue. Mm-hmm. It is a New York Wall Street credit rating agency big bank issue. Mm-hmm. And the big banks will, in fact, overcome it some way, shape, and form, because they have to. They have no choice. And the government has no choice other than to make certain they overcome it.
Is that where we come back to too big to fail?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's no way you and I are going to know the magnitude of these asset challenges in the largest banks of the land. And we don't need to know, because if the government comes out and says the second largest bank, ABC Bank, has failed or something like that, you know, it would create systematic panic like you can imagine. So it's not going to happen, and we're not going to know it.
Will we know it in the form possibly of a merger?
No, maybe so, but it's almost
irrelevant.
That'll
be as close as we'll get to knowing, won't it?
Yeah, exactly. So with that said, understand that the other 8,000-some banks, in particular the 6,000 or so, 6,000 or 7,000 community banks that are, say, under $10 billion in assets, they're not in this business. They're not in subprime. They're not involved in the credit crunch. They may have a ripple effect because some of their customers may be involved, but the community banks are open for business, making loans, making mortgages, and they are not directly impacted, only indirectly impacted by the credit crunch.
Hold on to that thought, Mike. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We got more to come with Mike Menzies right after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. See the dog and butterfly. The faster we run, the further away the dreams of bridges become lost in the sun. A little Dan Fogelberg for you there, ladies and gentlemen. And turning, from the Innocent Age album. Absolutely outstanding artist in every way. Musically, he's a writer, he's a singer, of course. Dan Fogelberg, one of my favorites. Mike Menzies is one of my favorites, too. He's an artist as well, but in the banking industry, in the financial industry, he's an artist when it comes to helping small business owners put their best foot forward in the marketplace. He's president of Eastern Bank and Trust in Eastern Maryland, an independent community bank, which even if I didn't know Mike, would mean I'd like him because, Mike, I remember several years ago, President Berlusconi of Italy said, in Italy, we love Americans. We love Americans even before they... We love what Americans do even before they do it. And that's the way I am about independent community banks. I love independent community banks. I love them so much, I even love what they do before they do it.
Well, I've been called an artist before, Jim, but in a different context.
Well, I'll tell you, you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. If it weren't for my independent community bank, I wouldn't be here today. We're celebrating 10 years of the Small Business Advocate Show next month, Mike, and you've been a very important part of that as an outstanding and abiding supporter of all the things that we've done, and a good friend to us. But my local independent community bank, if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here. They've just stood by me through thick and thin, and believed in me and did what they could to help me, and I'll tell you, I just don't know where small business owners would be without independent community banks.
Well, I'm flattered to hear that, Jim, and as you know, I trekked across the country in my little Cessna 172, and every time I stopped in a small town, you could see the importance of the community bank in small town America. And it was big time the center of the economy of little towns throughout this country.
There's no question about it, and they continue to thrive, and people are opening up new ones, and it's just a wonderful relationship that you can have, and I like telling people about them. Mike, we're talking about the subprime meltdown and how that affects the relationship of small businesses and their banks, especially their independent banks. There really shouldn't be any effect at all, should there?
Well, yeah, and I'd like to kind of go from the macro to the micro. The macro is that this is a Wall Street issue. It's a rating agency issue. Understand that we had the excesses of mortgage lending for a 4 or 5 year period of time. Wall Street found ways to get these instruments rated by the rating agencies and sold all over the world. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't the typical community bank portfolio lending where you're making a loan directly and putting it on your books and you know the customer and you live with the customer and you're responsible for the customer, or a Fannie Mae Freddie Mac loan, which is the GSEs, the government-sponsored enterprises that guarantee these mortgages that most community banks lend. Now, from the macro to the micro, on a micro level, there are some serious stress points throughout the country, and it will likely take a while to scrub through those stress points, like Florida and California and Arizona and Nevada and other markets where there was excessive appreciation in real estate.
Where there actually might have been a real estate bubble of some kind.
Where there absolutely was a real estate bubble. I mean, you go to Dade County, Florida, and San Diego, California, and
When you say those states, Mike, excuse me, when you say those states, though, you just mean that there are communities and neighborhoods in those states, not the entire state, of course.
Absolutely. There are neighborhoods and communities within that state, and there are community banks serving the people and the small businesses in those neighborhoods, and those neighborhoods will be stressed, and that will stress the community banks. It doesn't mean that the community banks are loaded with subprime assets. It does mean the community banks are in communities that are going to struggle for a while with their asset values, like home values.
But weren't many of those loans upstream to a security, and therefore off the books of the bank?
Yes, they're not on the books of the banks. But if you live in a community and you have a certain percentage of your community that contracted subprime loans, because houses would only go up because houses could only appreciate. Because they received 100% financing at teaser rates that are going to jump up to 10 or 12%, then that will impact your community. And that is the issue that we do not yet understand. We do not know how much impact.
We don't know how much damage there's going to be, do we?
Right. We don't know the impact of these adjustables when they adjust over the next 12 to 18 months. Mm-hmm. We'll learn it. And for sure, entities like some of the regulators, like Sheila Blair at the FDIC, are working aggressively to promote the servicing companies and the bigger banks to work with these borrowers to try to keep them from going from, say, 7% to 13%. And they're promoting every possible solution to work with these borrowers, but it's going to take a year or a year and a half in some of these markets to figure out what's going on. Simple as that.
Yeah. Well, that's, and as you say, we'll know in time. But really, though, in most of the country, there shouldn't be any effect of this at all between a small business and their community bank, should there?
No. In most of the country, there should not be an impact between small business and their community bank. And that, I think that is an accurate statement. And I think that that par for the course, if a community bank is doing its job, it's reaching out to small businesses to make sure they understand that they're not going to be victims of subprime. That, you know, they're not in trouble because of subprime.
Right. Stand by. Quick break. Take a quick one and right back with Mike Menzies. More to come, more good stuff. As you know, Mike always gets us educated about many important things when he joins us. He and I will be right back. It's 10 till. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find the show and the archives and the articles and the Brain Trust members, and subscribe to my newsletter. Check out our blog. Lots and lots of stuff. More resources than you'll find anywhere else in the world on a small business site. And that's a 10-year-old website, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And then, of course, we have our knowledge base, askjim.biz. .biz. That's where you can go to get small business answers now. No barrier to entry at any of our sites. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use all of our stuff for free. Mike Menzies is all over our websites. He's been a big help to us over the years. He's the president and CEO of Easton Bank and Trust. Give us that website, Mike.
It's www.eastonbankandtrust.com.
Exactly. And so check that out, folks. It's not your grandfather's small business bank website. Small bank website. Mike, the Fed lowered rates, their Fed funds rate, a half a point back in September, and I guess it was September. Yeah, it was September, and didn't go a quarter point, which is what I predicted, and they went a half a point, and which told me and everybody else, I guess, that they're very serious and very concerned about the financial condition of the overall health of the economy. And some people believe that they're going to cut again next week when they meet.
Yeah, no shortage of talking heads, if you will, Jim, us included, on
yeah,
this
careful.
Subject. And, I frankly believe the Fed would not cut at all. So you thought they'd cut a quarter of a point. They cut a half a point.
Yeah.
And there are probably many different ways to interpret the action that they took. My take, and this is my take, this isn't any deep study, is that the Fed is very worried about the financial system. Mm-hmm. In particular, they're very worried about $100-some billion worth of losses in the structured investment vehicles and other types of collateralized debt obligations and exotic off-balance sheet transactions that indirectly impact the financial system. And one of their jobs is to maintain a stable financial system. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Fed has three responsibilities. They are a regulator, a primary regulator. They are a primary delivery channel for the payment systems. The Federal Reserve clears checks.
Right.
And they execute monetary policy, and their monetary policy is for the purpose of price stability, managing inflation,
right,
and keeping a safe and sound financial system. I believe that they reduced rates because they are concerned about maintaining a safe and sound financial system. Not that the banking industry isn't the strongest that it's been in many, many decades. It really is. It's a very, very strong system, but I think they were concerned about it, and that's why they took the half-point chunk. And then you get into the speculation that, okay, did they take more than they needed, and then they'll sit and wait for a while to see if they need to cut again. And I guess if I were rolling dice, I would speculate that they will cut another quarter of a point, only because that's what all the talking heads are saying.
Well, it was unseemly to me. I mean, of course, Mike, I'm always trying to argue for lower rates for my small business owners out there, and me included. But never complain about a rate cut. Never take somebody wants to give you a gift, take it. But still, it is to me, it is unseemly that the people who got themselves into this bind by being irrationally exuberant and having popular delusions about all this subprime stuff, they would then turn around and say, but you have to help us out, you have to cut rates, and small business owners don't have that capability. We don't have the ability to petition the government like that.
Absolutely, I'm on the same page. I'm not sure that cutting rates, in fact, helps the small, the subprime borrower as an individual that much. What it might do, though, is take some of the pressure off those who have invested in those assets.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, these are like bonds. They're long-term bonds, and when rates fall, bonds improve in value. And one of the problems with these assets is they're financed by commercial paper, which is 30-day paper carrying 30-year assets.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost takes us back a little bit to the days of the savings and loan debacle.
Exactly. It's very close to a repeat of that. Mike, unfortunately, I've got to wrap it up. We've run out of time.
Okay.
Thank you for the outstanding information today. You always do a great job, and we appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be with you.
Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise, real soon. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.